Call the Judiciary Committee of the Senate to order. It's now Tuesday, February the 14th, Valentine's Day, and it's 9:33 a.m. Sorry for the delay. We have Senator French, Senator Guest, Senator Huggins, myself, Senator Seekins. We're going to go right to Senate Bill 10. Senate Bill 10 is sponsored by Senator Guest. Senator Guest?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In front of you is a backslash K version. This version has the amendments that the committee passed in the last committee and has no other changes. And at this time, I'd like to move CS for Senate Bill 10 backslash K.
Okay. Is there a discussion or objection? Hearing none, Senate Bill 10 is moved from committee.
I'm sorry, we just adopted
just
the...
adopted
the amendment. I'm sorry. That's right. Oh, I'm getting ahead of myself. The amendment, version K, is adopted as our version, judiciary version. Is there further discussion on the bill?
Okay.
Well, number one, I just point out to the sponsor, it appears that that may be a positive indication about its movement out of committee.
Right. She can anticipate that it's probably going to have that. Have a quick vote here this morning.
Well, that's uppermost in our minds, Mr. Chairman.
Let's take a look, yes. Let's take a look. We only have people online that want to answer questions. No one wants to testify on this version that I can see, so all public testimony is closed. We'll go through the steps. Senator Guest, this bill has been introduced a long time ago. Senator Guest, would you like to make any comments on this particular version for the record?
For the record, no. I appreciate the work the committee did on the bill. I know it's not the easiest bill to understand. So,
is there a motion from the members? Senator French.
Chairman, I'd be honored to move that CS for Senate Bill Number 10, Judiciary backslash K, be moved out of committee and onto its next committee of referral with the attached fiscal notes.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Short recess. We're going to go back on the record. We have next Senate CS for CS for House Bill Number 41, and Representative Lynn is in the office with us today, or in the meeting room. Thank you for coming, Representative Lynn. You're welcome to take a chair if you'd like.
Thank you, Andrew. We're getting to that.
This bill, a couple of things on the bill that I'd like to accomplish today, and we'll have an opportunity for people to testify on it. First, I have some concern about establishing in statute for the first time that I can find a mitigator on a misdemeanor. And I understand, Representative Lynn, that that was added in the Senate Judiciary, I mean the House Judiciary Committee. Is that correct?
I think so. I'm not sure.
Annie, Ms. Carpinetti, was that your recollection? Yes, okay. So Ms. Carpinetti and everyone has, for the record, has indicated that that was added in House Judiciary. And my concern is that we just don't have mitigators in misdemeanors. Ms. Carpinetti?
Yes. I was looking through the minutes and I saw an amendment that was added by Representative Wyrock. So I think it may have been added in Judiciary and removed and then added on the floor, but I really am not sure.
All right. Well, I think probably I would entertain a motion to remove the language on lines 5, starting with the last "the" on there, through line 8 at the first semicolon, so that we eliminated the section that read, "The court may impose a term of imprisonment of less than 60 days if the defendant establishes by a preponderance of the evidence that a mitigating factor listed in AS 1255-155D applies."
So moved.
Senator Huggins has moved amendment number 1.
Mr. Chair.
Ms. Senator, yes.
Just to clarify, that's on page 2. Page 2, line 5.
Page 2, correct. Is there objection? Hearing none, amendment number 1 is passed. Other amendments to consider? Senator French.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I am going to move that the term of imprisonment referred to on page 2, line 5, be reduced from 60 down to 30 days. And if I may just take a moment to explain the basis of my motion. And first, I'll make the motion. And
Senator French has made a motion. Go ahead and make your
I'll move to reduce that term of imprisonment to 30 days from 60 on page 2, line 5 of the bill.
Okay, line 5, amendment number 2, would reduce the term of 60 to 30. And I'll object for purposes of discussion. Senator French.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I went to speak to Representative Lynn about this, and I'll explain to the committee the same reasons that I explained to him about my concern over that number. We've just taken out the mitigator, and I was totally in support of that idea. I think the mitigator did need to come out. But I think the reason the mitigator went in is part of the reason why I'm proposing that we drop the number of days. The reason the mitigator went in is because I believe that some of the committee members on the other body were concerned about the punitive effect of a 60-day term in the case of what I would call a de minimis assault, an assault that just barely qualifies under the statutory terms of an assault that occurred on state grounds. And in the light of that, possibly punitive effect, the committee said, well, let's just do this. Let's give the judge an escape hatch so that the judge can listen to all the facts, and if the judge decides that this is a de minimis assault, a minimal assault, then a judge can lower the term of imprisonment to something he or she thinks is fair. We've just taken that power away from the judge, and again, I believe rightly so, but that does leave one wondering whether the term of 60 days is going to be absolutely right for every single assault that takes place on school grounds or on a school bus. And again, that's the basis of my motion. The final point to be made, I think, well, there's two other points to be made. One, keep in mind that a 60-day term of imprisonment, while it's easy to throw numbers of days around, is a good long stretch in jail.
even with the accumulation of good time, that's going to be 40 calendar days in prison, which for a mother, a father, anybody is going to be a pretty good stretch. I would compare it to, and it is in fact the same term of prison that you get for your third DWI. So it gives you some idea of the severity of the term we're proposing. Finally, I just have some, I guess, maybe bias in favor of police officers and firefighters and sort of frontline defenders. Not to say that I don't have the same strong and warm feelings for teachers and people that go to school. It just strikes me that there's something about police officers who are on the street and taking, bullets potentially versus the crimes we see happen at school are typically less serious. So there's just something about making those completely equal. The term of imprisonment for a police officer, assault, 60 days. Term of imprisonment for an assault on a school ground, 60 days. Strikes me there should be some difference. Maybe 30 is not the exact number, but I'm going to propose 30 because I think it's still a good long stretch in jail and would cover those minimum assaults and keep some difference between school assaults and assaults on police officers. So those are my reasons. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Senator French, our guest is next. Senator French's amendment. I was going to ask a representative, but let's go to the Senate first. Senator Guest.
One question for the sponsor of the amendment, one question for the sponsor of the bill. I just want to make sure that I'm remembering this correct, that it's a minimum of 30 days, so if it's a more egregious assault, more than 30 days could be given.
The law would allow a judge to impose a year, a year of time, if the assault were serious enough, or if the offender, remember that sometimes it's not the assault so much as the offender. If an offender had five previous assault convictions, went to school and did probably one punch, you might get a year of jail just because of your record. But again, that's the maximum is a year. It's the minimum.
And either to the sponsor or to Senator French, what is the minimum now for an assault?
There is no statutory minimum. Okay. You can get community work service, fine, probation, okay, so forth.
So I guess the question to the sponsor is, and we had this discussion last time, and I just need to recall it. It's 2 o'clock in the morning, and it's a parking lot at a school, and two people get in a fight. Would that mean that under this bill, if someone was arrested for assault, therefore they would get a minimum of 60 days, or as Senator French is proposing, 30 days?
That's an interesting question, through the chair, because the way we had the bill originally, it was on a school employee, and I think the CS has been changed now to school grounds, so you can't have it both ways, I guess. The way we had originally, it would not have been, I suppose, but on school grounds, I guess it could maybe, you might want to think about putting it when doing specified hours.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, I'll
go ahead, Senator.
I'll speak in favor of the motion given the breadth of the bill. I mean, I think that's the same concern that I have as Senator French has. I understand the intent, and I think the intent's fine. But I do worry that something that we aren't intending to be 60 days is going to be 60 days. But I'd like to hear from the sponsor.
Representative.
Mr. Chairman, if I thought it were possible and practical, I would entertain an amendment to put them in jail and throw the key away, do it for a year. But that's not practical. So I think 60 days should be the minimum. This is a very serious thing, not just because of incident at one school or another school, but just this is a state. It could be a state. It could happen to any of our teachers, any of our school employees, and I would ask the committee to maintain the 60 days because of the seriousness of what's involved here.
Senator Huggins,
Mr. Chair, look, just to make sure I got this right, Bob. As I recall, Representative Lim, when we removed the employee provision, that essentially on the school grounds today, if this was in effect, that if the principal, had a confrontation with a parent, then the principal could be subjected to this. Is that accurate?
Yes. Well, the principal shouldn't punch out school secretaries either.
But, yeah, exactly. Which, you know, I mean, quite frankly, I think it goes both ways. We know how emotion is. The other part, I think there probably is some wisdom to having some, because we had the provision about the administrative building if students were present. It appears to me that we might need some limiting factor on when the school grounds really has this application. Because I think Senator Guess's points well taken. After the football game, everybody comes back at 2 o'clock in the morning to do whatever, and there's a fight.
Representative Lynn, I understand your concern, and I agree that I think what you're trying, your intent is, if a school administrator is on school grounds, or if a student is on school grounds at a student activity, if there's something officially there, not that some two guys decide to slug it out in the middle of the night.
That's correct.
I appreciate that. But Annie, could you do me a favor and just for the record, tell us what AS 1141, 230A, 1, and 2 are.
Sure. Those are the
fourth. I understand what they are. 230A, 1, and 2, so that we know for the record exactly what the offense is that we're accentuating here.
1141, 230A provides a person commits the crime of assault in the fourth degree if, 1, that person recklessly causes physical injury to another person, or 2, with criminal negligence, that person causes physical injury to another person by means of a dangerous instrument.
So, this is not just a casual shoving incident that we're talking about here.
Mr. Chairman, it's not, although physical injury is very broadly defined in our statutes as not being very... I mean, serious physical injury means something that lasts a long time or that causes extreme pain. Physical injury can be a bruise or
a bruise.
A slap, something
yeah.
like that.
In your experience, how has the courts interpreted a physical injury?
Very broadly, according to the statutes are pretty clear.
Right.
Physical injury is right. It probably wouldn't cover a shoving match, but it would cover, you know,
a blow.
Any kind of blow.
Right.
Or,
okay, so someone who slapped another person could go to jail for 60 days.
Under this bill, it happened on a school ground, yes.
Right, on a school grounds. Okay. And that, even if that was a teacher slapping a child, or it was a child punching out, slapping back at a teacher, or slapping at a teacher, they could end up there.
Well, if it was a child, it would be under the juvenile system,
right.
But, you know, they would
right.
end up having some consequences in the juvenile system, yes.
All right. Senator Hawkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Carpinetti, in the case of a student that's over 18 years of age, and it's a student on student, would the student be subjected to this?
Through the chair, I believe so as it's drafted, yes.
Right. So the question is, and I think the intent, again, is, and I don't have any problem with this looking at amending it to state, you know, to eliminate an infraction that doesn't occur as part of an official school function or activity or time frame. And I don't think you do either, do you?
No,
Reverend
I do not.
Lynn? However, I think also I agree with Representative Lynn that it needs to be a significant punishment of some kind. And I also agree with Senator French that I think in the performance of their official duties, firemen, policemen, paramedics, et cetera, you know, that is an egregious offense, because in some cases, or in many cases, they're interfering with the safety of not just the police officer, but of other persons. So a paramedic especially could
be
in that position.
I come from an interesting background. I have many adventures. This is just one of my adventures. But I am a retired public school teacher. Mm-hmm. I've also been a city cop in the city of Tucson. So I've been on both the police side and the school side, and also been an ambulance driver. So I've been there, done that. You know, I've seen situations can develop on both sides.
Right. Okay. I myself probably would prefer a little more than a 30-day minimum on this particular event. Is there a point somewhere in between that? Let's vote on this on 60 down to 30 and see where that goes first. So, is there any further discussion on the amendment offered by Senator French? Seeing none, clerk, call the roll. I'll maintain my objection.
Senator Huggins?
No.
Senator Guest?
Yes.
Senator French?
Yes.
Chair Seekins?
No.
Two yeas, two nays.
The amendment fails. Let's ask a question. Conceptually, I just got out of state affairs and I was with Representative Gruenberg, so I learned.
Got your higher mental faculties engaged, I'm
right.
Sure.
Conceptually here, is it the intent of the committee to remove incidents that have nothing to do with school activity?
Correct.
Senator Guest.
To the chair, I guess I would ask what the thoughts are on what a school activity is, and I think this is where the last committee went.
I think the intent is on their way to school, on their way home, on their way to or from an activity that's a school activity, in a school bus, no matter where it is, if it's a school activity, in an administrative office during the office hours, provided that there are students that are educated in that building. I think that's pretty much covers the extent. It doesn't cover the grounds when no activity, school activity, is either taking place or immediately prior to or immediately after. I think that's kind of the intent. It's to exclude the activity that has no connection whatsoever with being in school or a school activity.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Just for the committee, I'd like to read the definition of school grounds, just so we have that in our head. It means a building, structure, athletic playing field, a playground, parking area, or land contained within the real property boundary line of a public or private preschool, elementary school, or secondary school. So it's a very broad definition, especially when you consider the land around a school. Two people get in a fight, and it's on the edge of the land, far away from the school grounds. But I just wanted to read that, because when I read it, I was thinking parking lot. I wasn't even thinking that it was the entire campus around the school.
I kind of thought it would be anything that was school property. But,
yep.
So from a conceptual standpoint, someone could work with the drafter and eliminate activities that might take place that have no connection to a school activity. I don't have a problem with that.
Mr. Chair, is the idea when students are around? Is that conceptually where you're going?
Well, it could be a PTA meeting, you know, and no students are there, but it's a school activity, so to speak.
Okay.
Ms. Carpinetti, your body language tells me you'd like to interject something there.
I'd just like to ask a question of what you mean by, would a PTA meeting where only parents are present, would that be considered?
Parents and teachers are generally there.
Uh-huh.
So I would think that it would be covered because it's a potential confrontations point in an activity that's related to school, I would think.
Also, now, Mr. Chair, they're calling it PTSA, Parent, yeah, Teacher, PTSA. And Student Association, and I've never been to PTA or PTASA meeting in which all three were not there.
My wife was president of her several times as my kids came along, you know, and And I know that most of the time when she was there, her kids were there. But Senator French.
Well, I think the committee's going in the right direction. I mean, obviously the thrust is to impose special penalties for assaults that take place on school grounds. But what we haven't sort of fleshed out is when that happens. You know, I think Senator Guest's example about a fight between two adults that just happens to occur on school grounds in the middle of the night is not what we're aiming at, not what we're trying to punish. So there should be some limiting factor that says, you know, it has to take place during normal business hours or when a school-sponsored function is taking place. Those sound like the parameters we're reaching for.
The chair would propose a conceptual amendment to encompass the discussion we've had here this morning, to exclude an assault that might take place that's not connected with a school activity, and ask the drafters to more artfully prepare that for consideration by the legislature. Is there objection to amendment number 2? Hearing none, amendment number 2 is adopted.
Three,
I'm sorry. Thank you, Madam Clerk. Are there other amendments to be brought to the, we now are at 60 days, we're still at 60 days. Is there any other amendment to be brought?
Just a question, Mr. Chairman.
Senator French.
Is it your intention to have that amendment drafted, brought back to us, and then before we pass the bill out? Or?
Let's see where the bill goes. The bill goes,
I think it goes to the
do we know
floor.
Mr. Hove?
Looks like finance.
Finance will go get it. So I would anticipate that the sponsor will
we can work together
make sure that's done prior to getting to finance. That's what I would prefer, and I do have trust in the sponsor being able to do that. And if we need to, Senator French, we can be involved in looking at that.
Well,
I don't have a problem.
My preference, Mr. Chairman, would be that.
We can do that.
I mean, I think we can get a quick turnaround. We can have a 5-minute hearing on the bill.
Yeah, we can have it out tomorrow. Is that all right with you, Representative Lynn?
If it works.
We like the bill, and we have still have plenty of time in the calendar, but I think you see where we're trying to go. We want it to go, I believe. So yeah. I think it has the support. So with that, Representative Lynn, if you could, we could ask you to have your staff just work with the
We'll work with that, and anybody can have input, if I may. We'll work on that today, this afternoon.
Whenever you're ready for it to come back, we'll bring it back under bills previously heard. And Senator Huggins?
Yeah.
I appreciate input.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would just like to compliment Representative Lynn on, you know, he has talked to a number of people that have taken a public profile against this bill and has, quite frankly, turned a number of them around. And, you know, the business of, number one, being an advocate for bill, number two, being willing to work through the process, understanding there are multiple eyes and lots of good ideas, and integrating those, and it's a pleasure working with you in that respect.
Thank you very much. It's an important bill, and like all bills we have, nothing is as simple as it seems, because we all want to do what's best for all parties concerned.
We have two people who would like to testify on the bill this morning. Robert Doyle and John Alcantara. Robert Doyle is on the off nets from the Mat-Su School District. Mr. Doyle, are you with us this morning? Mr. Doyle?
Doesn't appear to be. Is he in the Anchorage?
It's on the off nets, Mat-Su.
No, he's not.
Okay, Mr. Alcantara, are you still with us?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I am here.
If you'd put yourself on the record, sir, we're eager to hear your testimony this morning.
For the record, my name is John Alcantara. I serve as the Government Relations Director for the 13,000 members of NEA Alaska. First off, on House Bill 41, I'd like to thank you, Mr. Chairman, and members of the Judiciary Committee for hearing the bill today. I'd like to really thank Representative Bob Lynn and Lisa McGuire for the prime co-sponsors of the bill, as well as the six other co-sponsors. Obviously, NEA Alaska supports this legislation. I hope you have in your packet a letter January 19th of last year, President Bill Bjork. I think we'll be able to use this legislation as a tool to educate our members and educate the public.
Mr. Alcantara, can you get closer to that microphone for us?
Can you hear me better now?
Yes, we can.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman. I was saying that I hope we can use this piece of legislation to educate our members and to back here, but are we there?
Yes, we're here.
I also wanted to point out, just for some members concerned, in my former life, I was the emergency management director for the Kenai Peninsula Borough. As part of that job, I ran the 911 dispatch center in Soldotna for the troopers and for Soldotna Police Department, as well as the city of Seward and the city of Kenai. One of the things I wanted to point out is that when you're a first responder, whether it be a police officer or paramedic, many of those jobs are myself, you are given a lot of information before you go into an incident that public school employees do not have. When somebody pulls me over in my car and they run that license plate, they know that I'm a 6'3", 240-pound individual with a clean record. If I had a record of 3 assault convictions, they would know that before going into that bad situation. When you're at a secretary or a teacher at a public school, you don't have that wealth of information available to you when somebody walks into the classroom or walks into the school. So I think House Bill 41 is good legislation. Sorry, I'm in Anchorage and not Juneau. I can't really follow all the amendments. But I think our students, our public school employees, and our parents, they need to feel safe, whether they're in Ketchikan or Kivalina, Anchorage or Aleutianut, Fairbanks or False Pass. They need to have that ability to feel safe in the school. I think this is a good bill. I was hoping you would move it out of committee today. I realize there's some concerns, and I think Representative Lynn will do a great job at addressing those. And we'll look forward to this bill moving on soon to the Senate Finance Committee. And I'm willing to answer questions, and I thank you for your time today, sir.
Any questions for Mr. Alcantara? Seeing none, thank you for your testimony this morning, sir.
Thank you, Senator Speaker.
Is there anyone else in the audience wishes to testify on the bill? We're going to close public testimony on the bill at this point, and we'll carry the bill over. And we will bring this bill up as soon as you have it back to us, Representative Lynn, on our bills previously heard.
Thank you very much.
At that point, it'll just take a very cursory review, and we'll get it passed on to the Finance Committee.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for your time. Short recess. Back on the record. Next on our calendar this morning is House Bill 107. The sponsor is in the State Affairs Committee this morning, and Mr. Jim, why don't you go ahead and take the floor for us.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, I am Jim Pound, staff to Representative Jay Reimers, the sponsor of House Bill 107, which is now Senate Committee Substitute House Bill 107 from the Senate Resources Committee. Years ago, the legislature addressed a growing concern of individuals and groups about obstructing, hunting, trapping, and even wildlife viewing. When an obstruction takes place, an offender can be charged with a crime. They can also be sued civilly by the aggrieved person. Juries have, in some cases, awarded as much as $200,000 in a particular case, but under the current system, reasonable and actual attorney fees and costs are not awarded. This sometimes has a chilling effect on those costs as they are directly passed on to the plaintiff in most cases or the prevailing party. An individual has to consider how much it is going to cost in attorney's fees and et cetera to pursue a civil case. HB 107 corrects that error. It allows the courts to authorize reasonable and actual attorney's fees and the costs to the prevailing party. It'll send a clear message to those who would attempt to prevent people from enjoying outdoor activities or from earning a living that they will have to bear the full costs. It also tells Alaska hunters, trappers, and wildlife viewers that we support those activities in the state. We urge your support for House Bill 107. I'll be glad to answer any questions.
Any questions for Mr. Pound at this time? Senator Guess.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Pound, can you talk to me a little bit more about page 2, lines 4 and 5, with some examples? I guess I can see examples on the hunting and trapping. I'm wondering who gets to sue who under fishing and viewing, and is that because someone stepped in front of my space on the Kenai? And I thought that was my space for fishing, and someone's interfering now, physically interfering The same thing with viewing.
Through the chair, Senator Gessen, the primary language is already an existing language, which is the intentional. And if we go into the definitions of intentional, either in Black's Law.
Well, let me give you the. In Alaska law, AS 1181-900A1 defines intentional. And let me put that down for you. It says a person acts intentionally, and because Mr. Pounds and I have already had this discussion, and we got a legal opinion, with respect to a result described by a provision of law defining an offense when the person's conscious objective is to cause that result. When intentionally causing a particular result is an element of an offense, that intent need not be the person's only objective. But so if they intentionally do this, not if they accidentally or unintentionally. Go ahead, Senator Guest.
I appreciate that, Mr. Chair.
We had this discussion.
Well, yes, yeah, and I'm just thinking of combat fishing and, you know, intentionally versus unintentionally. And what that means, especially kind of in the
depends
fishing.
On whether you have the fish on, it was intentional if somebody gets in your way.
No. It seems silly, but that's actually the kind of the question I have, both on fishing and viewing, which seems, you know, I intentionally cut in front of someone to get a picture of something. Am I then liable for that action? And is that the intent of the piece of legislation?
Through the chair, Senator Gates, the intent of the legislation would not be a situation such as you're referring to, and again, Senator Seekins and I did have this discussion earlier. The intention would be if I were either a photographer or a hunter, that I ran out there in the middle of the field and started screaming and hollering and chased off either the viewing opportunity or the shooting opportunity.
You scared that animal. You pushed it away so that someone either could not hunt it effectively or view it or photograph it. That would be an intentional act, which would be a violation of this provision, as I see it. Or if you took someone's traps, or if you destroyed a viewing platform so that people couldn't be there because you didn't want them there. If you did anything intentionally to interfere with someone's lawful activity, that's part of the bill. Senator Huggins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Jim, in my readings, some of the things that this prohibits has, in some areas, was rather commonly practiced. Organized groups of people coming out with loud bells and clangers and loudspeakers and searchlights, all sorts of things to do what this bill prohibits, which is surprising to some of us, but it's just the way people are. My assumption, in Alaska, we haven't had much difficulty to date, or have we?
Through the chair, Senator Huggins, I have no cases having to do with that type of situation that I could cite at this time.
Yeah. You know, it brings to mind, it was only last week, my son, who goes to University of Nebraska, Lincoln, calls me and says, "Dad, I just wanted to give you a warning. There are some young men that just got killed in Iraq that are being buried in Nebraska, and we've had some instances where anti-war people were demonstrating at the cemetery." He said, "I just didn't want you to be surprised if that happened in Alaska." So we know that sort of thing creeps up here, but I certainly appreciated my son being sensitive and warning me about such things. Most common people don't believe that that happens, unfortunately. In some cases, we've got to prohibit it because it's the nature of the beast and will migrate to us.
The chair, I completely agree, Senator.
I can, you know, I have a lot of friends who are trappers, and the closer they get to an urban area with their trap lines, the more frequently they find the traps sprung or interfered with so that they're ineffective in. And under this statute, that would be now a violation of the law.
Mr. Chairman, actually, with existing statute, it is still a violation of
right.
the law on a criminal basis.
Right.
The primary objective that we've put into this language, a couple of things we've added, of course, was to allow for recouping full attorney's fees and costs,
mm-hmm.
or reasonable attorney's right. fees and costs, which the court rules presently do not allow.
Right. I appreciate that. Is there further, are there further questions? Senator French?
Thank you. Are there, thanks for bringing us this bill. Are there other instances in Alaska law where we allow the recovery of full attorney's fees, or would this be the only instance?
Through the chair, Senator French, eminent domain, as a matter of fact, allows for full recovery of reasonable. In fact, that's basically where we took the language reasonable and fees from, full and reasonable.
And the only other thing I know about that is if it's frivolous. Frivolous lawsuit, I believe, you can recover reasonable action.
But in the normal course of lawsuits, this would be an exception.
Through the chair, Senator French, yes, this would be an exception. There's basically a formula in the court rules for how much was awarded and how much the court is willing to give to an attorney.
And are you concerned at all about making our already litigious society even more litigious by encouraging folks to sue each other over incidental disturbances of wildlife?
Through the chair, Senator French, this is one of those situations that, as Senator Huggins pointed out, is probably something that's going to start growing in the state. And this is an opportunity, I believe, that we can, for lack of a better term, nip it in the bud, maybe, by sending a warning out in advance saying, if you do it here, this is what it's going to cost you.
Go ahead. I just wanted to ask one question, and I'll go back to you. But you're not talking about incidental. You're talking about intentional.
We are, Mr. Chairman, yes, we are talking about intentional.
Thank you. Go ahead, Senator French.
Well, but I don't think we ever quite got an answer to Senator Guess's question, which was, wouldn't one combat fisherman who steps in front of another combat fisherman to land that precious salmon on the Russian River, wouldn't that be an instance of intentionally interfering with someone else's right to catch the fish in question?
Through the chair, Senator French, I don't believe that you could take it to that extreme because of the nature of that type of environment. In that combat fishing is combat fishing, which I'm happy to say I try to avoid like on a regular basis, because it's to do something purposely and not accidentally. And I don't think that stepping in front of someone in most cases would be considered a purposeful act.
Well, no, I guess I'll just beg to differ with you. I can't think of anything more purposeful. It's not as if you sort of, you know, it's not like the vice president shooting someone with a shotgun. That happened by accident, right? And
hopefully.
Well, could we go off the record just for a second because that was funny?
We'll go off the record. Go ahead.
Yeah. Are we off the record?
No.